I know many of you will be gravely disappointed to know that we're not going to hear from Jonathan Singh and you have to hear me preach again. Others of you will be glad, just because it's live and you can see me. Either way, about 9:30 last night, our elders were finishing up a meeting and we tested out the system, and Pete told me, I haven't been able to get a hold of Jonathan since this morning when we had an appointment, and you better get a message ready. And I thought to myself, you know, how could I have been so stupid? I actually thought early in the week, I thought, okay, we got this plan to have somebody from India speak here through Skype, and I don't have to prepare a message. So I spent my week taking care of other things and looking ahead to next week, and I didn't prepare a message just in case. So last night at 9:30, our elder said, well, you might be on for tomorrow, so go home and prepare a message, which is what I did. And so this comes out of my sleep. It comes out of actually knowing that there was a chance and asking God what he wanted me to say this morning. And one of the questions I asked myself when it was looking like I was going to have to preach today is, why did we do this in the first place? Why did we even think about connecting with some guy from India? And why do we send him money anyway? Why do we do all this mission stuff? We're talking about trying to bring on a full-time associate pastor, and couldn't we just commit that money here, and wouldn't that make things so much easier? And it's out of those questions that I want to speak this morning, because there's a reason why we do what we do. Because it's not just haphazard, but it is intentional, and it comes out of God's Word. And the passage we're going to look at this morning, which gives us our broader vision, is from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It is the words that Christ spoke just before he ascended into heaven. The 11 disciples had gathered with him, and then Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been granted to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the Great Commission. This is the basis upon which we build our ministry. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage now, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would remind us of who we are and why we do what we do from your word, from your command and your commission to your church. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we were planning on having a missionary here, and he was a no-show. And so we fill in with thoughts of missionary work, of why we support missions, or why we tithe to missions, why we give 10% of everything that we bring in to support missions throughout the world. And the core reason is found in the passage which we've just read. And that is the Great Commission. That's what it's called, the Great Commission of the Church, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. It's stated in various ways in the Scripture, but the core message is that we have been given a great purpose. And it is the purpose of making disciples of all nations. The text, actually, if you look at it in English, there's a number of verbs, to go, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach obedience. But only one of them is an active verb in Greek. And you could translate the passage to say, while you are going and making while you're going into all the nations, make disciples. That's the core. That is the core purpose of the church, is to make disciples, to proclaim Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't say there's a special revelation for the church in Grand Junction that says, while you are going about your work in Grand Junction or on the Western Slope, make disciples. But rather it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make the disciples of all nations. This is a task of the church, is making disciples. People who are baptized, who have identified themselves with Jesus Christ, and who have chosen a lifestyle of obedience. This is the task of the church, and it is not the task just that we do here at 2840B and a half road, but rather it is our task to expand the ministry of the kingdom of Christ throughout all the world to all nations. So our task involves those people in India because it is part of the core task of the church to make disciples. And if we do not have a missionary endeavor, then we are not being faithful to the command of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Ascension. And so we have this great purpose to make disciples of all nations. It is not local, it is national and international. It extends beyond the borders of America. It extends beyond the borders of democratic countries. It extends even into countries which we are at war with. The idea that we would have some kind of a closed borders of Christianity is anathema. Whereas our nation may say that we can't have any dealings with somebody like the nation of Iran or North Korea, our king says that we are to make disciples of all nations. That means the people in countries which our nation finds itself at odds with. But when we are citizens of heaven, we recognize that there are people in Iran, in North Korea, in Afghanistan, throughout the world, and in India, where we're going to talk about specifically today, who are in need of Jesus Christ. And the task of the church is to make disciples of all nations. It's not all nations that happen to agree with the United States of America. It says make disciples of all nations. The task of the church is not merely that we would be effective in reaching Grand Junction, but that we would be a part of the overall worldwide task of the Church of Jesus Christ, making disciples throughout the whole world. It is a significant task. It is a task which is beyond the scope of any of us as individuals unless we bind together with other believers, which is exactly why we support missions. The Evangelical Free Church has an overseas missions department called Reach Global, and we have this because we recognize that we can do a lot more together than we can do individually. And so we join together with other Evangelical Free Churches throughout the world in order that they would pool our resources to be able to support missions throughout the world, so we might be faithful to the task to make disciples of all nations. And we have made a concerted effort to be a part of a group of evangelical free churches in Colorado to connect with a guy named Jonathan Singh. Jonathan Singh is our missionary to India. And that's really kind of, in some sense, a misnomer. Because when we think of missionaries, typically, we think of people going into a cross-cultural situation where you take someone out of a church in the United States and send them off to a faraway land, to India, to do work there. But what we have in Jonathan Singh is an Indian, a person who was raised in India, who came to Jesus Christ and committed himself to making disciples in his nation. And we have connected with him and partnered with him in order to provide an opportunity that there would be church planters throughout India. And Jonathan Singh works with an organization called North India Strategic Alliance. He's essentially the same as Greg Fell, our district superintendent. He meets together with pastors in India, and he gives them training to do church planting. And there are numerous churches in India today because of the work of Jonathan Singh. And in our support of Jonathan Singh, actually of North India Strategic Alliance, we have chosen to have 60% of our money go towards one pastor's individual support. And although we support Jonathan Singh and he's the spokesperson, the majority of our support that goes to NISA goes to a guy named Babu Lal. And Babu Lal is a pastor in India. And in India, that doesn't mean the same thing as it means here in the United States. There is never a time when I wake up and wonder, oh no, is there someone going to kill me today? But in India, there is a price on the head of every pastor. If you kill a pastor in India, they'll give you $250. That's no small amount of money in India, because in India, the typical family makes something less than $1,000 a year. Our pastor, Babu Lal, in India, helps us fulfill the great purpose of the church to make disciples of all nations. So we are involved in this, and we set aside a Sunday because we buy into the Great Commission, because Christ has given us a purpose in life, and it is a purpose which is both local and international. The problem is that we're, as important as purpose is, oftentimes our overriding purpose gets derailed, it gets distracted or clouded in the midst of other things which seem to be important, and we lose connection with why we are here doing what we do. And so we need something more than just purpose. We need a passion. And I believe that Jesus gives us a passion, and the Scripture certainly gives us a passion, and that passion is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is the gospel so important? Because at the heart of the gospel is the opportunity for men and women to be reconciled with God. At the heart of the Great Commission, the purpose is to make disciples, that is to get people connected to Jesus Christ, to have heart transformation, in order that they might make an impact upon the society within which they live, and also, perhaps most importantly, in order that they might have an eternity in heaven. The gospel is the means whereby mankind is reconciled to God and has the opportunity to be invited into heaven. Our Lord, the Savior, stood before the church and he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He did this because he had an understanding that only out of a heart of an understanding of who he is will people have an opportunity to go into heaven. He was not proposing an elective course of action, something the church could do. He was calling us to our first duty, to make disciples of all nations. It is our first duty because God has entrusted to the Church of Jesus Christ, people like you and me, the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Christ. That we are the ones, we are the tools that God has chosen to use to spread the gospel throughout the world. And the gospel at its core is to make disciples who are connected with Jesus Christ, because without a connection to Jesus Christ, mankind is destined to hell. Hell. We don't even like to say the word. But it is a real place and people are going there. And unfortunately, lost in the consciousness of American Christianity is a sense that there is a place called hell, that there is a place where God is going to judge mankind, and some will be destined for heaven, those who know Jesus Christ, and many will be destined for hell. People that we know, our friends, our neighbors, some of our family members. People who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, their eternal destiny is not just annihilation. It would be nice to embrace the idea that as long as you know Jesus Christ, there's an afterlife. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the end of life is the grave, and that's all there is to it. But that's not the teaching of Scripture. The teaching of Scripture is clear that there is both a place of eternal reward, that which we call heaven, and a place of eternal punishment, that which we call hell. In Revelation 21, Satan has just been thrown into the lake of fire. And we're told that the cowardly and unbelieving, abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Scripture doesn't speak of simply the annihilation of the unsaved. It speaks of an ongoing eternity in the place that where the fire is not quenched. A very real place of everlasting conscious punishment. A place where maggots feast upon your flesh. If you read in Luke, you see the Jesus talking about Lazarus and the rich man. And in that parable, one of the few parables, by the way, where Jesus identifies an individual by name, and so most commentators believe that Jesus is not simply telling a story, but he is telling a real event of a rich man who has gone to Hades, and he can see over the chasm that there is Lazarus, one of his slaves, and he implores God to send Lazarus back to his brothers. He doesn't suggest that Lazarus go and talk to his brothers about buying stock in water guns so they can cool people off in hell. What he says is, send Lazarus in order to save my brothers from this fate. In Matthew 13, hell is talked about as a place where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. gnashing of teeth. That's a term which it's like people scraping their fingers on a chalkboard. When you hear somebody gnash their teeth, you know it's not good. It is a place where there's conscious punishment. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us that he's going to sit upon a throne. He's going to separate the goat from the sheep. He's going to separate those who are going to go into everlasting conscious reward and some who will go into everlasting punishment. Hell is a very real place, and an understanding of hell motivates us and gives us passion to proclaim Jesus Christ. And if we are honest about it, it gives us a passion which moves beyond merely those people that we love. It is a passion which ought to extend even to those people we have never met, even to those people which are the sworn enemy of the state. Because we recognize that we have a common humanity, we have a common destiny, save for Jesus Christ. And so whereas we as a country may be able to say that we won't do any business with Iran or North Korea, we as citizens of heaven say we must proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whereas we may say when we pick up the phone and dial a helpline, oh no, it's somebody in India. We as a citizen of heaven say, I wonder if that individual is going to go to heaven and they've met Jesus or not. And so we connect with Jonathan Singh and Babu Lal because we believe that people who die without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ go to hell. And nobody that we know or even don't know would we say we want to see go there. No matter how vindictive our spirit is, if we have an understanding of just how horrible hell is, we have a passion to help people be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, by a knowledge of Him, to be discipled and baptized, identified with Jesus Christ, and obedient to what He commands. And let's face it, would that not be the best way to get world peace? If we get every person in the world to accept Jesus Christ and be obedient to His commands, that would produce a world which was, well, heaven. Our great passion is that hell is a real place and we don't want people to go there. So we have a great purpose in spreading the gospel throughout the world, driven by a passion of knowledge of hell. And we say we want to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, not for our own glory, but for the glory of Christ and His kingdom. This stretches us beyond ourselves into involvement in world missions. Unfortunately, in our society, the concept of lostness has virtually disappeared from the consciousness of most churches and most Christians. You hardly hear any messages on hell. Little remains of the first century's burning passion to introduce people to Jesus Christ. We just simply want to get along. We want to make sure our retirement fund is doing okay. We want to make sure the jobs aren't outsourced to some other country. But as citizens of heaven, what we really want to do is we want to make disciples of all nations because everybody, whether they are American or English or German or French or Russian or Iranian or Iraqis, whoever they are, they need Jesus Christ. Anybody want to say amen? It is a call to action. And we seek to do what we do because we believe that in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't do what we do on the basis of personal interest. We don't do what we do on the basis of personal whim or possession of unique gifts of ministry. I submit to you, we do not connect with Jonathan Singh because I want to go to India. I actually have pastor friends who will go to conferences and they'll say, I need to connect with a missionary in Russia because if I get my church to support a missionary in Russia, then they'll send me to Russia. And a few years later, he said, I need to connect with a missionary in India because if I connect with an Indian missionary, then my church will send me in India. You know what? I'm not interested in that kind of world travel. It's not why we connect with Jonathan Singh. It's not why we've connected with others who we support. We connect with them because we believe as we connect with other churches, we fulfill the Great Commission, which is to make disciples of all nations. And it's a more effective way for us to do this, to connect with Nissa and Babu Lal and Jonathan Singh, than it is to send me there. It's a great passion that we would reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our text doesn't just give us great purpose and great passion, but it also gives us an incredible promise. For Jesus says at the end of the verse, and surely I am with you always. I'd like to know Shirley. Okay, off the topic, but I tried to introduce Cheryl Seeley earlier as a new member of our church. She came in a little bit late. She is here. Cheryl, welcome to the membership of Living Hope Church. That's Cheryl, not Shirley, and God is with her always, and with you always. That is the incredible promise that comes out of the Great Commission, that God has said, I am with you always. We have a man that we've never met. I've actually talked with him through the marvel of Skype a number of times. A man named Jonathan Singh, who today is unable to be at our congregation. We don't know why. It could be that he blew a tire. He went to Kashmir earlier in the week, which is quite a ways away from New Delhi where he lives. He may have just gotten stuck in traffic. He may have gotten arrested. He may have gotten beaten. And the promise of Jesus stands. I am with you always. The promise of Jesus, who said, I'm going to send the Spirit. You may have power to do what you do. Jonathan Singh doesn't do his work because it's a high-paying profession. He could probably make more money answering that helpline that you guys are going to call some night this week. He does what he does because he's bought into the Great Commission to proclaim the gospel to all nations, because he knows that he can make disciples. Babu Lal, our pastor in India, he does what he does because he feels the power of God coming upon him to preach, because God has promised he's with him always through good times and bad times. We in the United States are experiencing what we think are bad times, but it is nothing like what's going on in India, certainly not for the church. We have 8% unemployed. You know, people in India go, big deal. Your unemployed people make more money than we make in a year. God says, I've got a promise for you. I'm going to be with you when you do kingdom tasks. As you buy into the Great Commission, as you have this, as you focus upon this purpose with a passion to save people from hell through the grace of Jesus Christ, you have my presence and my promise. I'll give you power. Power that Philippians would say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This is why we do what we do. We don't do it because it's comfortable for us. We don't do it because I want to go to India. I don't have a whole lot of desire to go to India. I've tasted curry. It's not all that good, in my humble opinion. But I do have a desire to see the kingdom of heaven expanded through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we will continue to tithe to missions. That's why we'll continue to try to connect with Jonathan and Babu Lal and other missionaries throughout the world, because God has given us a mission. He has given us this great purpose to make disciples of all nations. And that doesn't mean just the western slope of Colorado. It means India and Russia and Honduras and Costa Rica and every other country in between. When I found out last night that I was likely to be preaching today, I wondered where it would go, because I didn't know what God was going to lay in my heart, and I have to bring to this conclusion. It would have been my desire this morning, it was my desire this morning, to interact with Jonathan Singh and to have you looking at a screen up over my head as he talked about what life is like in India and how they survive the persecution which is upon the church in India. Many of you are committed to praying for your pastor almost every day. Some of you only pray for me once a week. Some of you only pray that, well, here's what I want you to do. I love your prayers. I'm glad you pray for me, and please don't stop. But I have a really easy life compared to someone like Jonathan Singh or Babu Lal. And so my admonition to you today is to embrace the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, and to embrace what we have embraced as a congregation, and to pray for Jonathan Singh and Babu Lal, men in India who have a price on their head, not because they've done anything wrong, but because they proclaim Jesus Christ. Consider in your prayers. You won't have to expand your prayer very much.
Lord Jesus, I pray for Pastor Steve and Jonathan Singh and Baba Lal, because I'm committed to the purpose of the church to make disciples of all nations. Let them be effective in what they do. And keep them active until revival breaks out in India and the nation is opened to the power of the gospel and lives are transformed because of Jesus. Build your kingdom, Lord. Make that your prayer. Bow with me now. Heavenly Father, send the power of your Holy Spirit upon Jonathan, upon Babu Lal. Cause them to be effective as they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Jonathan helps men learn to plant churches, to deal with the persecution in India, we ask that you would build a hedge of protection around these men. That you would help this congregation to be a significant part of the Great Commission, praying for our missionaries, and we have them listed in our bulletin every week. We would pray for them with a passion that they would be effective, that they would be a significant part of our church, being effective in making disciples of all nations. We ask this, Lord Jesus, not because the growth of the church in India will do anything for us here in Grand Junction, but because that is the central purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. And because as your kingdom grows, we come nearer and nearer to that great and coming day when you return and receive us to yourself. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would cause your people throughout the world to be driven by a passion to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the end that you would receive honor and glory and praise, that there would be a transformation of people's lives as they turn in obedience to Jesus. Amen. Now, two things. Commit yourself to being a part of spreading the gospel where you live. And I admonish you to commit yourself to being a part of the sharing of the gospel in India through your continued support and your prayers for Jonathan Singh and Babu Lal, our associate pastors in India. God's peace upon you.